God wants us to establish and work within His design and order. He has established a structure for our lives and for our families because He knows what's best for us. This Mother's Day special message is entitled, Living with Purpose.
Good morning. How's everyone doing? Good. Happy Mother's Day. Hope you have a good day and get spoiled. My daughters and I get to work all day, so. But I do want to wish my daughters a happy Mother's Day. Christy, who has two of our grandchildren, and Jessica, who has five of our grandchildren. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Thank you. So we've been preparing for this weekend for several weeks, and we're excited about sharing with you today. There are three of us, and we're women. So hope you'll get out by the 1 o'clock service. We'll see. We'll try to do our best, but I think you'll really enjoy it. And Jessica, tell us what we're going to talk about.
Absolutely. Well, again, welcome on this Mother's Day. We are honored to be with each of you and get to share some things today. But we are going to be talking about living with purpose, making our lives and families better. Anyone want to get in on that? Yeah, we could all use a little better in our lives. And so we're going to be talking about that. And really, God's desire, His intent for us is that we would live with a purpose and on purpose. And He actually tells us in John 10:10 that His design for us is that we would have a better life than we even dreamed of, that we would have a rich and satisfying life, which sounds pretty incredible. But experiencing all that God has for us, it's not an automatic thing. It comes with intentional choices and behaviors on our part. And so we're going to talk about a little bit of that today. There's a passage in Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 through 4, and it says this: A house is built by wisdom and becomes strong through good sense. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with all sorts of precious riches and valuables. And so we're just going to have a conversation around the table today and invite you to join us here. And we're going to be talking about some wisdom to help us build strong individual lives. So maybe you're not a mom or a dad here today, but God wants us to have a rich and satisfying life as individuals, and how we're going to build strong families, how we're going to build strong homes that honor and please God. And so in honor of Mother's Day today, our points are going to be very simply laid out using the word mom as our acrostic, okay? So we're not overly complicated women up here, so we're going to make it simple that you can walk away with 3 points that spell out the word mom. So mom, we're going to start with you. If we're going to live on purpose in our lives, if we're going to build a home like Proverbs tells us with wisdom and good sense, with knowledge, and truly experience all the riches that God has for us, where do we start?
Okay, so number one, M, it starts with me. It starts with me. I can't build a life of purpose and have a plan for my life unless I have a personal relationship with Jesus. Because God created me, so He knows what my life needs to be like. So it needs to start with me. It needs to start with a personal relationship with Jesus, that I have that one-on-one relationship, not through my grandma, not through my mom, but I have that one-on-one relationship with God. And along those lines, because I have a relationship with God, then I need to spend time with Him. And we should be doing that on a daily basis. God needs to input in our life, and the way He does that is us having a time, a place, and a plan. I like to use those three things. We need a time. We need a set time, a set appointment with God every day, the same time every day that I am meeting with God. I need a place, a set place that is my place. It could be a certain room. It could be a chair. It could be your own closet, whatever. But it needs to be a place so that when people see you at that time in that place, they know you're in your appointment with God. And then there's a plan. We all need to have a good plan in our Bible reading. So there's so many good options around today. I mean, the Bible app, online, there's so many good options.
Yep. And Mom, I'd just like to say that you've done such an amazing job of setting this example for us over the years. you set the example of having that time and place, your appointment with God. I know that we would come down in the mornings and you have your devotional time in a chair, right? So we would see you in that chair every morning. And to this day, if we were to visit you in the morning, we would find you meeting with Jesus. So thank you for setting that example. It is such a great legacy that you've built for us. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that as well. And what's really kind of fun is your mom has a chair.
Right.
Still to this day that she sits in, has her time with Jesus. Mom has a chair, and now I have a chair. So husbands, go buy your wife a chair, and she'll spend more time with Jesus. And you want that, right? So, yeah. But one of the things I remember specifically is that she would journal out her prayers. She would write out her prayers. And as a kid, you're kind of like, is mom praying about me? Like, you know,
what does that say?
What does that say?
Probably.
But then she would rip those prayers up or put them in her shredder. And what that spoke to me is, you know what? This is about her time with
right.
God. This is a safe place for her to say whatever she needs to say. And I know for me, my journals are a safe place for me, which I've told all my kids, make sure you burn them when I die. Okay. So, because I don't want y'all reading them, because there's plenty of prayers about them. Right. But it's a reminder that we have this personal interaction with our Father, and it's important to set that time aside.
And what we want to do this morning is we want to give away some devotional books. One special author that has meant a lot to me and my life as a mom and a wife is Stormy O'Mardian, and she has written several books on the power of a praying mom, the power of a praying wife, power of a praying for your adult children. And we have a few books that we want to give away to a mom here that does not have this book already, and the hosts are standing around, and if you raise your hand, they're going to pick one of you to give you that book, okay? Great. And then also, we have a set. I wrote a couple of little devotional booklets a few years back, and this is for any lady that does not have these devotional books. If you'll raise your hand, and then we'll let the host pick a few of you to give you this book too. Also, just so you know, we do have more of these resources in our resource center, and you can check by there today before you leave.
That's good. So we're talking about it starts with me, right? It starts with me. And mom, you just talked about our personal relationship with God, our personal time with God. But apart from that, which obviously is the most important foundational things when we think about it starts with me, but what other areas that it starts with me?
Yeah, we can know the Lord personally and have a personal relationship with Him, but we also need to work on our souls. You know, our spirits can be saved, but we need to work on our souls and getting healing of things and the baggage that we bring in our lives and into our families. So we need to spend time figuring that out, you know, working on ourselves. What are the things about me that I need to work on and change and grow?
Yeah, and for me, one thing that comes to mind with it starting with me is knowing my identity and value and who Christ has made me to be. Because it can be so challenging if you're trying to take your kids someplace you haven't gone yet. So really knowing who Jesus has made me to be, knowing that He has a plan for my life, and being secure in that, I'm reminded of Jeremiah 29:11 that says, I know the plans I have for you. That's for me, says the Lord. Plans to prosper me and to give me a future. And so for me, it starts with me knowing who Jesus has made me to be, knowing that He loves me, and being secure in that.
So good. One of the things I think of is it's really easy for us to sit down, maybe read our Bible, pray for a little bit, check the boxes. Okay, I did that, spent my time with God. But really, I think being intentional to allow Him to speak to us and minister to us and correct us and show us something inside of us, maybe our attitude, maybe the way that we were responding to something, that we're giving Him space to work inside of us and we're responding to Him. And I think, you know, realizing as well that it starts with me and my example, right? I cannot control my husband, right? We try, right? Ladies, we try, but we can't. We don't have the power to control those around us. The only power I have to control is myself, my choices, my attitudes, my facial expressions, my body language, and what that's communicating, and the tone it's setting in the environments that I'm in. So am I allowing God to work in me, to reveal things to me, and submit to his will in that so that I can improve in those areas as well?
Yeah, when we think about controlling atmospheres, I think about if you're a mom that works outside the home, you come home and a new job starts. You start all over again with taking care of the house, managing the home, and things can get a little chaotic, you know. And there's that saying about, are you controlling the thermostat? Are you letting the situation control you? Are you bringing the temperature at the right level that it needs to be? And it's God working in our lives and helping us, even in those difficult times, you know. I think God also gives us kids to help us see ourselves sometimes. God is good to give us kids. And yet sometimes when we're looking at things we want to correct in them, the Lord says, look at you. Yeah.
So true.
Yes. True. And I think also, you know, you talk about setting the thermostat, setting the temperature. You know, a lot of times we're not perfect in that, and we all make mistakes in our areas of lives, right? And so another way that it starts with me is the prayer actually in Psalms 139 that says, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there's any offensive way in me. And I know that's one way that I've tried to learn to let the Lord start with me, is learning to have him search me, not looking around me at other people, but search me, God, and then being able to admit my mistakes, both to the Lord and then to other people. And that includes learning to ask for forgiveness from my kids.
Yeah. There's a passage in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1, and it uses the word woman, but let me just tell you, men, you're not exempt from this, okay? So you can allow the Holy Spirit to convict you here too. But it says this, it says, a wise woman or a wise man builds his or her home, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. And the thing about that that's so convicting is realizing, recognizing the power that we have within ourselves, our words, our attitudes, our choices, the way we treat those around us. I have the power to either build something or someone up, but I also have the sobering reminder that I have the power to tear it down with my own hands. And we have to be those that, Lord, work in me so that I can be someone who builds and doesn't tear down. In Psalm 51, verse 10, it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Sometimes we want to pray that prayer for someone else, right? God, would you create something new in them? But it has to start with me. Lord, create in me a clean heart. So again, we're talking about living with a purpose, experiencing the life that God has intended for us. And we started with M in our acrostic mom here, and it starts with me. And now we're going to talk about O, and O is align with God's order. Align with God's order. God is a God of order. You can look at the universe, he's the creator of all things, and you can look at the world around us and know he's a God of order. You can look at your body, right? You can see how your body functions, and you can say, okay, I can figure out he's a God of order. And there's actually several chapters in the book of Job that you should read that talk about how God, the sovereignty of God, established the world. He set things in place, and he keeps them in proper order. And so God establishes and he works within order. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, it says, for God is not a God of disorder or confusion, but he's a God of peace. And it goes on into verse 40 to say, be sure that everything is done properly and in order. And so God wants to establish and work within his design, within his order, within his structure. He has a structure for our lives as individuals, and he has a structure for our families. And because of his omniscience, which omniscience just simply means he knows everything, right? He's an all-knowing God. And because of his all-knowing nature, he knows what is best for us. And he designed it in the way that is best for us. And when we operate in God's order, I like to think of it as an umbrella. So if it's raining outside and I want to go outside, I want to get underneath an umbrella. And what happens when I come underneath the covering of an umbrella is I experience protection, right? There's an element of safety there. When I come out from underneath that umbrella, I'm exposed to the elements and I can get wet, I can get, you know, all nasty, and I'm coming out from underneath that safety, that protection. And so God has an umbrella of order that he wants us to come underneath. And Christy, you have a new driver, right?
I do, whether we're ready or not. Here it is.
Yeah. And I was thinking about Elijah, and we all in this room know, Elijah, if you're here, that you are following the order that has been established on the roads, right, Grandma?
No speeding, no texting.
That's no right. Loud music.
Yeah. Everyone in this room, we follow the order of the laws of driving, don't we? Every day, right? Okay, so if we're following the order that has been established, driving on the right side of the road, using our turn signals when appropriate, yielding to the right, you know, person at the right time, we experience safety, right? When we come outside of that order, or if someone around us comes outside of that order, we lose that safety. And so we want to talk just a little bit about what does godly order look like for us as individuals, first and foremost, because not everybody here has kids or a family yet, but God still has an order for us as individuals. And we also want to talk a little bit about the order God established in the home. And so, first of all, as individuals, the best thing that we can do to align with God's order is we can submit our lives to his word. We can acknowledge Jesus as Savior, right? Which is what we talked about in point one. It starts with our relationship with God. It's one thing to call him Savior. It's a whole nother thing to call him Lord. And when we submit to God's order, to his word, we're saying, Lord, I submit my opinion, I submit my feelings, my emotions underneath the authority of what you say, underneath the umbrella of your word, and I come into alignment with what you say. It may not be what I want, but I choose what you say because you know what's best. And then from there, we allow what is important to him to become important to us. What God's priorities are should be our priorities, and so we submit our lives to that.
Yeah, I think about how God created us, and so he knows how we best operate, and so he's given us an owner's manual. He's given us the Bible to show us how to operate our lives, and if we go outside those guidelines, then we're not functioning the best way. I know you're like me, and you've probably bought something before, and you're so excited to use it. You take it out of the box and try to use it right away, and you don't read the owner's manual, and you realize it's not working. It's not functioning the right way. Well, if you go back and read the owner's manuals, you'll see maybe you didn't put something in there the right way. And the same with our relationship, our lives with the Lord. We need to operate according to his owner's manual.
That's so good, because in that owner's manual, as you're talking about the Bible, right, it helps us make decisions, because there's so many decisions we have to make every day. We're constantly having to make decisions, and we can turn to the owner's manual and get wisdom and discernment on how to make decisions, what to say yes to and what to say no to, how to spend our time and our finances. It just guides us so well.
Right. Morally, God has instructions in his word. The world will tell us today, things are okay. Things are this way. The Bible's old-fashioned. Well, not so. God created us. The Bible is true today as it was many years ago when it was written. So if we go outside the owner's manual, outside those guidelines, we will bring unnecessary harm and pain to our lives. Now, we all know that we're going to have pain and trouble in this life anyway, and who wants to get more? But if we go outside those guidelines, we will bring more pain and trouble on ourselves.
So true. So we're talking about aligning with God's order. So we talked just a little bit about how we do that as individuals. And now let's look a little bit of how we align with God's order in our family. You know, God is the creator of the family unit. He's the one that established it. He designed it. He did it with an intent and a purpose. And so we need to know what his intent and purpose is so that we can align with that. And as parents, we need to recognize, if you're a parent here today, that our children, they are supposed to come under the umbrella of our authority. They're supposed to come under that umbrella of our direction, our leading, our guidance in our lives, because when they do, it's actually for their protection. It's for their benefit. It's for their safety. And so when we don't provide that proper order, when they're outside of that, or our family is out of order, there's chaos and damage that comes up. And we're dealing with all of that because we're out of order. And the proper structure, again, in the home is mom and dad should be leading the home. They should be leading the kids. They should be leading and disciplining, providing direction for their children. And if you don't know how to do this, there's a lot of parents that don't know how to parent. And unfortunately, because they don't know how to do it, they end up forfeiting that role and just giving up because they don't know how to do it. But if you have a task at your job that you don't know how to perform, you don't just quit, right? You go get the training you need so that you can excel in that area of your job. And it's the same with parenting. If we don't know how to do these things, we better go get ourselves educated, because we can't forfeit that role. We have to make sure that we're doing and aligning with God's order in our homes. Parents, you should be running your home. Your kids should not be running over you.
Right.
Now, and that's the proper order.
Right. Now, this can be challenging at times when the rubber meets the road, right? Because I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes you just want peace, right? So I'm going to take the path of least resistance, and I'm just going to, I forfeit my role and let my kids dictate what's going to happen. But it's such a great reminder that parents are responsible. We have a responsibility to lead the home. You know, another thing that I think about is that a lot of times we want our kids to like us, right? I mean, we all like to be liked, but, you know, first and foremost, we should be their parent, not their friend. It's great that they like us, but our first responsibility is to be their parent.
That's right. So we have four things here, four categories of some things that parents should be providing according to the order that God has established for the home. And so we're going to just run through these real quick. The first thing, write these down if you have a note and you're a parent here today. This is your responsibility to provide in your home, number one, teaching and discipline. It is your job as parents to provide teaching, instruction, both practically and spiritually. It's your job to teach them, and it's your job to discipline them. Disciplining just means putting limits on what they can and can't do, and the consequences that align with those limits. So if they go outside of the limits that you've set, there's a negative consequence. And sometimes when they stay aligned with what you have set, there might be a positive consequence. And so that's what discipline is. But it's our job as parents. We should be teaching and disciplining our children. The second thing that parents should be providing is love and affirmation. These are basic essential needs that we have as humans, not just as children. We have this as adults too. We have a need to be loved and to be affirmed. There's a security that we need both emotionally and physically. And so it's our job as parents to be providing love and affirmation for our kids.
Yeah, I think about those points that you just made, Jessica, and I think about who is the perfect parent. Well, obviously, God is the perfect parent, and he does these things for us. He teaches us. He disciplines us. How many times has he said no to you, and later on, you were glad he said no to you? He knew best, and so he teaches us. He disciplines us. He loves us unconditionally. He affirms us. So as we're learning that from our Father God, he's teaching us how to be the kind of parent where we can teach and discipline and love and affirm our kids. So again, it starts with me.
Right. It goes back to point number one. It starts with me. We receive that from our Heavenly Father so that we can give that to our kids. But again, we are not exempt from doing that if we don't know how. So get educated. We've got to teach and discipline, love and affirm. The third thing here is protection and provision. Parents should be providing protection and provision. It's our job to make sure our kids are protected physically, emotionally, spiritually, and that we're providing for them in all of those ways as well.
Yeah, I think about that point of protection. I realize that my home belongs to the Lord. It's a king's palace because I am the daughter of the king. And so in my home, I have to put up guardrails of what I will allow and not allow in my home. What kind of music, what kind of movies, what kind of internet sites, social media, what kind of language, what kind of relationships. I guard that home. I protect that home. My husband and I protect that home by what we allow in and what we don't allow to come in.
And this is sometimes where comparison can come in. So we can try to compare, well, this other mom allows this or this other family allows this. But we have the responsibility for our own household. And, you know, sometimes our kids will want to say, well, so-and-so is doing such-and-such.
I'm not so-and-so's parent, right?
That's right.
So that still works. It worked in the 80s for me, and it works in the 20s now. So make sure you put that in your pocket for later. But you can say to your kids, I'm not their parent.
Right.
I'm your parent, and God's called me to hold this role in your life.
That's right.
And so, you know, these are the things that we need to take as parents and own. And then the fourth thing, so teaching and discipline, love and affirmation, protection and provision, and then finally rules and guidance. These are what we will and will not do, how we will and will not live, how we will and will not make decisions, what we will prioritize and what we won't prioritize. These are the decisions. These should be led and guided by parents, and it's so important that we recognize that.
I think this is another point that things can get, you know, when the rubber meets the road, those kind of points, because things get chaotic, right? We have so much on our plates. There's so many things that are trying to get our attention every day. Our schedules get so full. And so how, Mom, can you give us some insight on how we know which priorities to make? How do we know what to put first and how to prioritize our lives and our schedule?
Yeah, I'm sure you've heard of this example before, but you take a big glass jar and you have the big rocks that you put in first. And so, of course, the biggest rock that we put in first is our personal relationship with Jesus. And that includes our community life with our local church. So that's the big rock that goes in first. And then we have our family. Our husband-wife relationship needs to be a big rock in there, along with our relationship with our kids and other family. And then we have our job. Our job is a big rock. We can't really function as a family if we don't have a house to pay for and bills that we pay for. So that's a big rock. And then we can start putting in some pebbles, some of those things that are not the big rocks, but we want to be a part of, or our kids want to have a part in, like music lessons or soccer games or whatever all these other activities may be. And so we start putting those pebbles in, but we have to be careful that we don't pack our jar so tight that there's no space, that we don't have time to relax, that we've got all this filled up, and worse, that we begin taking some of the big rocks out and filling it up with more pebbles. We don't want to do that. Don't take your big rocks out. So let's keep the big rocks in, put in the pebbles where there's space.
Yeah, that's so good. And I imagine that we have to learn to be flexible as well, because there's different seasons where, you know, something might be taking up more of our time and we have to adjust it, but then we reevaluate. But as you said, we never want to take the big rocks out. Thank you. That was great.
Well, and just to follow up on that too, remembering that the direction, the guidance, that where that comes from, it comes from mom and dad.
Yeah.
Okay. So our kids, I know for me, with five kids, they have different things they want every day. Okay. So today they're interested in this. Tomorrow they want to do this.
Right.
And in their minds, they're going to commit for the next 3 years, but we all know that doesn't happen. Right. So it's important that my husband and I, we take the role in guiding that and helping direct. And we take their input, right? We consider what they're interested in and see how that works. But we are guiding that decision. We're guiding the priorities of our home.
Really good. So we've talked about the first two points. The first one, again, was M, it starts with me. O, align with God's order. And now we're going to talk about the final point, which is M, make the moments count. Make the moments count. So we're going to talk a little bit about moments or opportunities that God will give us or he gives us that can impact the lives of our kids. You know, the message is titled Living with Purpose, Making Our Lives and Our Families Better. And if we want to live a life of purpose, if we want to make our life and our families better, we really have to be intentional with the time that we have. In Ephesians 5:16, it says, make the most of every opportunity. And I love how the Amplified Version says the same verse. It says, taking advantage of each opportunity and using it with wisdom and diligence. You know, I was reflecting on the stages of parenting I've been through. I have two boys, Elijah and Levi, who are 16 and 14, and been through some different seasons with them over the years. And I was reflecting on a particularly challenging season that I was in when they were young. And as many of you I know can relate to, it can be challenging, especially when they're little. And I found myself in a place that I was overwhelmed, I was tired, I was frustrated, and I was just trying to survive. I wanted to get through that season as fast as I could. But I remember one particular day that I came home from work and I was unloading the kids out of the car. I had each of them in my arms, both of them in my arms. I started up the stairs to our condo building. We lived at the top of a condo building, and so we had a ton of stairs to climb up. I was carrying them up the stairs, and about halfway up, the Lord firmly but lovingly got my attention. And he said to me, Christy, you're missing this opportunity. You're trying to rush this season. And you know, while things didn't drastically change after that point, what did change was my perspective. And I tried to slow down and notice the moments a little bit more because I realized I was trying to rush something that God didn't want me to rush. There was something in that season that he wanted to do in me, and then also something that he wanted me to impart to my kids during that time. So it's so important that we try and focus on where we are, make the most of the seasons that we're in and the moments that we have, because you see, the moments go beyond the actual moment itself. What we're really doing is we're making deposits, investments. We're really sowing seed into their lives. You know, Jesus made the most of his moments when he was on earth, and he did this a lot of times through parables. His followers and his disciples would gather around, and Jesus would use people's real-life moments to teach them truth. So the truths were taught out of the moment they were in. So as we talk about moments, there's, you know, a lot of different kind of moments we can have. So we're going to talk about how we can make the most out of them, but some of the kind of moments we have are prayer moments, we can have corrective moments, we can have teachable moments, we can have encouraging moments, we can have fun and celebratory moments. There's all kinds of moments, but what we want to do is make sure that we make them count, right? So we're going to talk about 3 points about how we can make moments count in parenting and in life. And the first thing that comes to mind about making moments count is that moments usually are not planned. So moments usually come up naturally, and they're conversational. Many times, they're unexpected. So because they're not planned, it can be hard to know when to have these moments. So what I've done is over the past years, I've tried to notice a few prompts from my kids that lead me to these moments. So some of these prompts that I've picked up on is listening to their comments that they make or reactions that I notice in them. Sometimes it's questions that they ask. How many of you know kids ask a ton of questions? It's such a great prompt. Attitudes and patterns. This is another huge one. Attitudes and patterns that we observe. These can all lead to moments with our kids.
I think about that, Christy, with Jessica. When she was 5 years old, she was in kindergarten, and I was noticing a pattern. I was noticing something was not right. For about a week, she was not acting herself. I didn't know if she was just having a bad week or if she was just being a girl. I wasn't sure, but something was going on. And one evening, I was putting her to bed and having devotions with her. Her dad was still at work. And so at that moment, I was prompted at that moment to just say, Jessica, is everything going okay? How's school going? How's your friends? How is anything going on in school you want to talk to mom about? And Jessica started crying, and she did have something going on in her life that was happening at school, And we were able to address that the next day and take care of it. But it was a moment. Now, I didn't get that 100% all the time, but I was so thankful that God led me to address that at that moment for her.
And I remember, I can go back to that very specific day in my room. I remember us sitting on the floor talking. And I mean, it's very distinct in my head, even as a five-year-old. And why? Because I was carrying something heavy that I didn't know what to do with as a five-year-old. Is there someone, should I say something? Should I not say something? How do I deal with this? And so I remember that really distinctly. And now as a mom, what it makes me grateful for is that the Holy Spirit wants to partner with us as parents. And that is such a relieving thing for us. And I know I've experienced that as a parent, and anybody here that is partnering with the Holy Spirit, you've experienced that too, where it's just this nudge on the inside of you. You need to go in that room. You need to ask them that question. You need to take them out on a date. You need to look at that phone. Right. You need to show up at the place they said they were going to be at, right? Like, there's all these little nudges, and sometimes we ignore them because am I just making something up here? But the times where we follow through with them, oftentimes we'll discover, okay, that was the Holy Spirit. And we put two and two together and we recognize, okay, the Holy Spirit's partnering with me and I can trust him. He's going to help me in this process.
Yeah, and as you talk about partnering with the Holy Spirit, I think about him prompting us to even pray for our kids. We said, you know, there's prayer moments we can have, and the Holy Spirit will prompt us. There's many times that I've been awakened at night to pray for one of my boys. Sometimes I know why and what I'm praying for, and sometimes I don't know, but I just trust that the Lord is guiding me and he's prompting me to pray for them. And so it's just important to really listen to the Holy Spirit when he prompts us.
And I remember that story about you, Christy. You were on a field trip. I think you were in high school and on a skiing field trip. And I was at home working around the house. And all of a sudden, I had a burden for Christy. I didn't know why, but it was a deep burden. And I went to her room, and I started praying over her room and praying for her. And about an hour later, we got a phone call that Christy had been in a skiing accident, had hit her head, was in the emergency room. They didn't think that she had any damage, but they were watching her. And I was so thankful to God for his prompting. And let me just encourage you, anytime God puts someone on your heart, pray for them. God, I believe, puts people on our hearts so that we can pray for them. We may never know why, but sometimes we will know why. But just use that as an opportunity to pray.
Amen. That's so good. So moments aren't usually planned. And the second thing is that moments happen in ordinary places and spaces. You know, a lot of times we think that, oh, we've got to wait for the right place, the right time to have this moment. Well, moments don't generally happen in any special place. Usually they're in our ordinary daily lives. They're at home, in the car, on the soccer field, you know, wherever we are going about our day. I think about Deuteronomy 11, 19 and 21. It says, teach them to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed, and when you are getting up, so that you and your children may flourish in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors.
Yeah, I love that scripture because it's natural. It's just your daily life. As you're going about your daily life, use these moments. And I'm so glad I get to do that now with my grandchildren, all seven of them. And because
you're welcome. I gave five. Yep. That's a good offering, isn't it?
Yeah. I barely contributed, but that's okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for your part. And because I have seven, I want each one of them to feel special. So I have what's called a grandma day, and I will take turns, pick one of them up, take them shopping, take them out to eat, take them home to cook some cookies or play cards, whatever. But we have those moments that I can check in with them individually and say, hey, how's school going? How are your friends? What classes are you taking now? What are your grades like? So it's good to be able, as a grandma, to have those moments as well.
Right. So it doesn't have to be a special place or have this big plan. You know, sometimes we think about living a life of purpose. We have to have a sermon and have this whole thing that we sit our kids down with. And really, it's a lot of times natural, like you're saying. Think about Jesus when he met the Samaritan woman. You know, he met the Samaritan woman at the well. And that was a normal, ordinary place and space. And Jesus met her at the well and had a moment with her there. So let's be aware of our ordinary places and spaces. So we've talked about the first thing is moments are usually not planned. Moments happen in ordinary places and spaces. And the final thing is that moments are easy to miss. Moments are easy to miss. Because they're unplanned and they happen in the normal, natural routine of our lives, it's so easy to miss these. You know, a lot of times these moments are also inconvenient. I don't know about you, but I find myself at the end of the day, I'm tired. I have a list of things I need to do, right? And so sometimes we miss these moments because we have our own things going on. But I have prayed that the Lord would help make me sensitive to and aware of these times so that I don't miss them. Because as we're reminded in Ephesians, it says we can make the most of moments if we use it with wisdom and diligence. So my prayer is that we would be aware, but that also God would give us wisdom to use these moments for his kingdom. I love the story of Jesus had been with a large group and he'd had a long day. And he decided to get away with his disciples, so he took them out in a boat on the lake. And Jesus had a plan in that boat. What was that plan? To sleep, to rest. That was his plan. So they got out on the boat on the lake, and Jesus laid down and he took a nap. And I love this story of Jesus because it shows his humanity here on earth, how he can relate to me when I'm tired and just want to take a nap. Amen? So Jesus was taking a nap in the back of the boat, and a storm came up, and the disciples started panicking. And what did they do? They woke up Jesus. And how did Jesus respond? Jesus responded by waking up and having a moment with his disciples. He stood up, he calmed the storm, and he revealed even more of who he was to his disciples during that time. So Jesus didn't miss that moment, and I'm so thankful he didn't. Amen. But you know what? We're human and we're gonna miss some moments, and that's okay. But I also know that some of the biggest moments that I've had in my kids' lives are moments that I could have easily missed. And again, I'm just so thankful for the Holy Spirit showing us those times and helping us catch them, because a lot of times what can seem like an interruption to us is actually an invitation from the Lord. It's an invitation from the Lord for us to plant seed. And you know, seed takes time to grow. I was recently at an event and they gave out a plant. And as they were giving out the plant, they talked about how this particular plant would take 3 to 4 years to begin to bloom at all. And I was really struck by this. And I was thinking about it as we were preparing. And I just thought, wow, that's so similar, isn't it, with our kids? We're planting seed. And sometimes we expect to see the fruit of that seed instantaneously. And sometimes we do. We see pockets of fruit grow. But really, it takes time to grow. And so our job is just to keep planting and to trust that God will, that we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Ecclesiastes 11:6 says, "Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let your hands not be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well." So it's a continual work, right? We have to plant seed in the morning. We have to plant seed at night. We have to plant seed in the afternoon. If you're a new parent or have young kids, you're planting a lot of seed in the middle of the night, right? It's our job just to keep planting. And we don't know which moments, which seed we plant will lead to which fruit. But you know, planting seed is not just limited to us moms or parents. We all have the ability to plant seed. And so it's important for us to look around us, to stop and see who has God placed in our lives. It might be your kids, but it might be a niece or a nephew, or it might be a coworker or a neighbor, or you might serve in the kids or youth ministry, but there's somewhere that God has placed you where you can plant seed. And let's all ask the Lord to help us as we plant these seeds, that the moments that we use will count for his kingdom.
Yeah, that's good, Christy. When I think about moments also and how we can make a difference, and other people's lives. I also think about God moments, you know. We need those special moments with God. We need when we're sitting down, reading our Bible, praying, and God speaks to us and has a moment with us, and he is putting something in our lives, and he's saying, let's do this differently. Let's forgive this person. Let's love this person. Let's give to this person. And we have God moments. So God moments are so important as well. So, ladies, how about a recap, Jessica? What have we learned today?
Yeah, so again, we talked about living with purpose, making our lives individually and our families better. And we use the acrostic MOM so we can all go out remembering that M means it starts with me. I have to make sure my relationship with the Lord is on track, that I'm allowing that time, that space for him to work inside of me, to change me, and to make me more like him. And then we want to align with God's order. He has a design for our lives. He has a design for our families. He's laid it out clearly in his word. And if we want the safety and protection that he provides, we need to come under the umbrella of his order, of his structure, of his design. And then we ended with, let's make every moment count, because each of these moments are moments that we have to plant seed. And the Bible does tell us you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. And those moments, again, like Christy said, are not just for moms and dads. That is for each and every one of us. You have an opportunity in the world that you live in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your family, wherever you go and whatever you're doing, you have an opportunity to take advantage of the moment and to plant seed for God's kingdom. So, Mom, why don't you close us here today in prayer?
Okay. Well, we just talked a few moments ago about God moments. You know, I think it's very important that all of us here understand that we need to have that initial God moment, that time when we have asked Jesus to come into our lives. And if you've never had that initial moment where you have asked Jesus to come and be the Lord and Savior of your life, we're going to do that today. We're going to provide an opportunity for you to do that and have that God moment. So whether you're here on this campus, Frederick, online, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. We're going to make this a private time for those of you that would like to ask Jesus to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior. You can just repeat this after me, and you can do this today and have your God moment. Let's pray. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, thank you that you love me. I believe you are God's Son. I believe you're the Savior of the world. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. Lord, come into my life. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Make me a new person. Help me to live for you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
I would like to close today by giving you an opportunity to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Would you pray with me right now? Right where you are, just simply bow your head with me, and I'm going to give you a prayer to pray, and you can simply speak this prayer out, whisper this prayer out, and from the sincerity of your heart, call upon God, and I promise you that he will hear and answer you. So let's pray together. Start by simply whispering the name Jesus. Let there come from your heart just the declaration of his name. Say, Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, that I have fallen short with you. I'm sorry for all of my sins. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you are God's Son. I believe that you are the Savior of the world. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the grave, that you are alive today. Now pray these words. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Give me a new start in you. I commit my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, I want to encourage you with a promise from God's Word that says that when we call upon God's name, we call upon the Son of God, there is salvation that comes to our lives. He changes us from the inside out, and you become a new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new. And that's exactly what has happened to you today. Your next step really is to make sure that you get into a good Bible-believing church. And you begin to study God's Word, get God's Word in you, and to make sure that you get a copy of the Bible if you don't have one and begin to read it. Spend some time every day in prayer. And I would encourage you also to check out the resources on our website that will help you to get going in your relationship with Jesus. You can find them at church-redeemer.org. Get those into your hands. Get started in your new life with Jesus Christ. Thanks again for joining us today. May God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you next time.